It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, boy. Hello.
Welcome.
Let's see. How about now? There we go. Hello. Sorry. I've been messing with settings. Trying to get things just right. Because, as I've been talking about for a little while. Whoa. There we go. That sounded funny. As I've been talking about for a little while. I'm going to be taking a trip soon. And so, I've got my phone. I'm planning to bring a laptop along that will have Mix on it, but I'm kind of torn. I think I'm going to try do a couple shows live and a few shows recorded. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I'm going to be driving the motorcycle up to New York, and so you guys will get to go along with me. Just to give you a heads up, the current game plan has me visiting the last standing international border marker for the Republic of Texas. Going to eat at some old barbecue joint in Arkansas, and then I have another spot I'm going to, but my notes don't have it on there yet. But there's an atomic museum. There's a village that was completely, like, the U.S. government needed a place for the people that were working on the Manhattan Project to live, and so they built this whole city, and then they just, like, when they were done, they gave it to the state. And so it's just a little town, but it has, it still has guard towers around it and stuff, so I was thinking about checking that out. But anyway, that's not really news to you guys. It is news to me, though, and that's the name of the show. It is 1902 UTC, and it is a beautiful Tuesday, July 12th. It is 39 degrees C right now. I expected to hit 40 directly in a little bit. I am out on the roof of the garage, fifth floor. It's five floors up. I don't know what the objective elevation is, because if I look north of me, I can see a building that's the same. I can see the parking garage of the new campus, and the new campus, the new work campus, has an identical parking garage, and it is taller than me by at least, I don't know, 50 feet, maybe more. So, anyway, let's go ahead and launch Calm. You can too. All you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, or if you're like me, you'll SSH to tty.sdf.org. And once you do that, you just launch COM by typing COM, you press return, and if you've got your COMRC file hooked up, you'll just join the Anon Radio Room. But if not, you'll need to type G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and then hit enter, and boom, you'll be in the Anon Radio Room. With cool people like Cody Seuss and Claudio N. Welcome, and X1. Hello. Welcome, one and all. Quattro Libertades, welcome. Thanks for being here, LD Beth. Thanks, everybody. Gerbil Fat, it's another beautiful, fun day. Ali Faye. Alonze, Ali Faye, and Ucho. Wow, there's a whole crew here. This is fantastic. Thank you all for being here and hanging out and listening to the news. So, so it's pretty nice. Yesterday, a quick aside, I guess, before we jump into the world news, is yesterday, in the past, I've sat up here on the roof, and the guard car will come up and park on the opposite side of the car park, and I guess they're doing paperwork or something, but they're just kind of hanging out. But yesterday, instead of a car, it was just los dudes walked up, were walking up the car park, And so it was kind of weird because it's like, I'm just sitting over here and it looks like I'm talking on the good old phone, but I'm streaming to you guys, so talking to you. Howdy, Tobe. Welcome. Oh yeah, and that's an important reminder. Be sure you stick around, because at 1930 UTC, every goddamn day, is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Fantastic time, including, of course, co-chair or sergeant-in-arms Pippa, one of the more amazing critters or dudes you'll find. All right, well, let's get going. It's time to start the way we always start, and that's with world news. So let's get into it. First, Uganda arrests protesters over rising cost of living. So, although that's worded kind of funny, there were protesters about the rising costs, and Uganda arrested them. They didn't arrest protesters because their cost of living was going up. The Ugandan police on Monday arrested at least a dozen protesters against the rising cost of living in Jinja in southeastern Uganda. Eight of the leaders were arrested and will be charged with inciting violence. Witnesses said the protesters burned tires and blocked a busy road about 80 kilometers east of Kampala and forced motorists to join them in demanding that the government subsidize basic food items. The officers had to use minimum force, including tear gas, to disperse the protesters. We, of course, support this kind of protest. The government must act. People are going to be bed at night hungry, Solomon Wandibwa, a 28-year-old part seller, told AFP. Hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic, Uganda's economy of 45 million people is now suffering the consequences of the war in Ukraine, which has pushed up energy and food prices worldwide. According to the latest official statistics, the inflation rate for food products reached 13.1% year-over-year in May. The price of petrol has doubled since February, and slightly more in some remote areas of the country. So far, President Museveni, who has been in power since 1986, has preferred to call on his fellow citizens to live frugally rather than lowering taxes and increasing state aid for the most vulnerable, as many voices have called for. So, only time will tell what happens there in Uganda, but pretty tough times, for sure. Hey, I'm glad. That's cool. Checking mail. Everybody's having a good time. Good deal. All right. Well, the SAS unit repeatedly killed Afghan detainees, the BBC finds. SAS operatives, that's Sierra Alpha Sierra operatives in Afghanistan, repeatedly killed detainees and unarmed men in suspicious circumstances, according to a BBC investigation. Newly obtained military reports suggest that one unit may have been unlawfully killed 54 people in one six-month tour. The BBC found evidence suggesting the former head of special forces failed to pass on evidence to a murder inquiry. The Ministry of Defense said British troops served with courage and professionalism in Afghanistan. The BBC understands that General Sir Mark Carleton Smith, the former head of UK Special Forces, was briefed about the alleged unlawful killings, but did not pass on the evidence to the Royal Military Police, even after the RMP, Royal Military Police, began a murder investigation into the SAS squadron. General Carleton Smith, who went on to become head of the Army before stepping down last month, declined to comment. BBC Panorama analyzed hundreds of pages of SAS operational accounts, including reports covering more than a dozen kill or capture raids carried out by one squadron in Helmand in 2010 to 2011. Individuals who served with the SAS squadron on that deployment told BBC they witnessed the SAS operatives kill unarmed people during night raids. They also said they saw the operatives using so-called drop weapons, AK-47s, planted at a scene to justify the killing of an unarmed person. Several people who served the special forces said the SAS squadrons were competing with each other to get the most kills, and that the squadron scrutinized by the BBC was trying to achieve a higher body count than the one it had replaced. Internal emails show that officers at the highest levels of special forces were aware there was a concern over possible unlawful killings, but failed to report the suspicions to military police. The Ministry of Defense said it could not comment on specific allegations, but that declining to comment should not be taken as acceptance of the allegations' accuracy. An MOD spokesperson said that British forces served with courage and professionalism in Afghanistan were held to the highest standards. This, of course, is a line that's repeated by all the people that were allied with the United States in Afghanistan. But if you talk to the people there or read their stories, Western forces just went over there and just killed anybody they kind of wanted to. Pretty tragically. But, I mean, USA, UK, go UK, go. I don't know what the UK version of USA is, but it's all really sad. That's kind of, I don't know, it's tragic, but it's kind of expected these days. It's pretty lame. Sorry, pretty lame is not a good phrase to use anymore. My bad. Sri Lankan president in standoff with airport staff while attempting to flee. That's right. If you didn't hear, the Sri Lankan president, his house was overrun by protesters. And he was trying to flee the country. Sri Lanka's embattled president was stuck in his own country Tuesday in a humiliating standoff with airport immigration staff blocking his exit to safety abroad, official sources said Tuesday. Gotabaya Rajapaksa has promised to resign on Wednesday and clear the way for a peaceful transition of power, following widespread protests against him over the country's unprecedented economic crisis. The 73-year-old leader fled his official residence in Colombo just before tens of thousands of protesters overran it on Saturday and wanted to travel to Dubai. As president, Rajapaksa enjoys immunity from arrest, and he is believed to want to go abroad before stepping down to avoid the possibility of being detained. But immigration officers were refusing to go to the VIP suite to stamp his passport, while he insisted he would not go through the public facilities, fearing reprisals from other airport users. The president and his wife spent the night at a military base next to the main international airport after missing four flights that could have taken them to the UAE. Rajapaksa's youngest brother, Basil, who resigned in April as finance minister, missed his own emeritus flight to Dubai early Tuesday after a similar standoff with airport staff. Good for them. Basil tried to use the paid concierge service for business travelers, but airport and immigration staff said they were withdrawing from the fast-track service with immediate effect. There were some other passengers who protested against Basil boarding their flight, an airport official told AFP. It was a tense situation, so he hurriedly left the airport. Basil is a U.S. dual citizen, had to obtain a new passport after leaving his behind at the presidential palace when the Rajapaksas beat a hasty retreat to avoid mobs on Saturday. So, official sources say a suitcase full of documents were left behind at the stately mansion, along with 17.85 million rupees in cash, now in the custody of a Colombo court. There's no official word from the president's office about his whereabouts, but he remained commander-in-chief of the armed forces with military resources at his disposal. One option still open to him would be to take a Navy vessel to either India or the Maldives, a defense source said. So, we'll see how this plays out, but I just thought it was pretty funny that president was trying to flee his country, and the commercial airport was like, no, you can't go through customs. Not here, buddy. We're not stamping any passports here. So, we'll see what goes on. Oh, hello, ISK. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. I wish I had some almonds. Almonds are a great snack. They are best. Love. Anyway. The music guy's in my head. I want to hear some music. Quit talking. Play some music. We've got a few more stories to go before we can get into music, all right? Don't worry. It's not too terrible or too horribly depressing. I hope not. I hope it's not too terribly depressing. We'll find out. The Ukraine claims arms depot attack in occupied Kherson with HIMARS rockets. What is that? Ukraine military says it has destroyed a Russian ammunition depot in the southern city of Kakovka, killing dozens of soldiers in an attack apparently involving U.S.-supplied missiles. However, Russian occupation officials say homes and warehouses were hit, leaving 5 dead and 80 wounded. It was not possible to verify the extent of damage or casualties. Unconfirmed footage of several powerful explosions was shared on social media. Ukrainian presidential aide Mykhailo Podolyak attributed the attack to the U.S.-supplied HIMARS multiple rocket launcher and spoke of a reality collision for the world's second army. HIMARS is far more accurate than Russian equivalent systems and is already being credited with a string of recent attacks deep into Russian-held territory. Large areas of the southern Kherson region were seized by the Russians in the first weeks of the invasion, but Ukrainian forces have launched a counteroffensive, while Russia has focused on its military push into Ukrainian territory in the east. Kyiv has urged residents to leave the area to escape the counterattack. So, it's going to be pretty tough. I'm on the roof of the garage, and I'm streaming with an iOS app called IZZYcast. That's India Zulu India Charlie Alpha Sierra Tango, IZZYcast. And this app allows me to stream, and it has a nice little mixer. It has music, sounds, and mic. And then you have two presets. And that means that I can click over this preset too before I play a song for you.
Member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. SDF's powered by you. That was Dishwalla and their song Counting Blue Cars, something you probably heard a lot on the radio in the 90s. I think that was the 90s when I was hearing that. Maybe I'm wrong. During the song, I was looking through, I'm syncing my Joplin notes. One of my notes that I forgot about was crypto stuff. And I had written down like how much things were worth, because I was like, oh, okay. And so, let's see. at the time I took this down, ADA or Cardano was at $2.15, which is very funny. Bitcoin was at 49,675. Ethereum was at 4,034. and I believe at this time, Litecoin was somewhere like 250 or so, which is very funny because Litecoin's sub 50 bucks right now. Anyway, oh, don't think about investments, folks. Bitcoin. okay, well, good deal. Welcome, AE. Thanks for tuning in. So let's go ahead and jump back in. We got some more news for you. We got about 9 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. Today is Tuesday, which means there's internet noises afterwards. And you can always press that equal sign to see what else is coming up next on the show. Do our best to be sure everybody knows what's happening and what's going through, what's going on. Sorry, I'm coughing on there. All right, well, check this out. You know that Tobe is a big finder of dudes. He's an owl whisperer and knows where all the Mateys are and can track a fox like nobody's business. But Chinese scientists have developed a robot fish. Oh, I wonder if robot fishes are trackable. Robot fish that eat microplastics may one day help to clean up the world's polluted oceans, say a team of Chinese scientists from Sichuan University in southwest China. Soft to the touch and just 1.3 centimeters, or half an inch in size, these robots suck up microplastics in shallow water. The team aims to enable them to collect microplastics in deeper water and provide information to analyze marine pollution in real time, said Dr. Wang Yuyan, one of the researchers who developed the bot. We developed such a lightweight miniaturized robot, it can be used in many ways. For example, in biomedical or hazardous operations, such a small robot can be localized to be part of your body to help you eliminate some disease. The black robot fish is irradiated by a light, helping it to flap its fin and wiggle its body. Scientists can control the fish using the light to avoid it crashing into other fish or ships. If it is accidentally eaten by other fish, it can be digested without harm as it's made from polyurethane, which is also biocompatible, Dr. Wang said. The fish is able to absorb pollutants and recover itself even when it's damaged. It can swim up to 2.76 body lengths per second, faster than most artificial soft robots. We are mostly working on collection of microplastics. It's like a sampling robot, and it can be used repeatedly, she said. So, it's pretty exciting. I am very curious to see what happens if we have robot fish. I hope that means we're soon going to have robot cats, because I would like a soft robot cat. That would be great. I wouldn't feel bad whenever I go on trips and have to leave the animal behind. In the U.S., U.S. defense firm ends talks to buy NSO Group surveillance technology. Who would have thought? Plastic fish. Yeah, Ali Faye, they actually addressed it. That's pretty prescient of you. Hey, F-Fog, welcome. Every damn day. All right, so what's happening? The American defense contractor, L3Harris, has abandoned talks to acquire NSO Group surveillance technology after the White House said the White House opposition, which was first reported by... Oh, if I go this way, I don't hear myself in the monitor. If I go this way, I do. I don't know if that means you can't hear me, but... we'll keep it turned this way. The American defense contractor abandoned talks to acquire the technology. Yeah, the White House opposition, which was first reported by The Guardian and its media partners last month, was seen as an insurmountable obstacle to any transaction, according to a person familiar with the talks, who said the potential acquisition was certainly off the table. The news, which is being reported by The Guardian, Washington Post, and Haaretz, follows a tumultuous period for the Israeli surveillance company, which was placed on a U.S. blacklist by President Joe Biden's administration last November, after the Commerce Department's Bureau of Industry and Security determined that the firm had acted contrary to the foreign policy and national security interests of the U.S. A person familiar with the talk said L3Harris had vetted any potential deal for NSO's technology with its customers and the government and had received some signals of support from the American intelligence community. Of course, one of the things that's scary about defense contractors and stuff like that is that a lot of the constitutional protections we have only cover specific government entities, but if they have a defense contractor that does it for them, that's totally okay. Same thing with, like, the reason why it matters that all your data is getting sucked up is that, you know, the state can totally just buy that. They can. It's not against the rules to buy your private data and then use it against you. It's just against the rules for them to harvest your data. So, anyway, essentially, if the U.S. government is not aligned, there's no way for L3 to be aligned. There were other complications. The Israeli Ministry of Defense would have had to sign off on any takeover by a U.S. company, and it is far from clear whether officials were willing to bless any deal that took control of NSO's licenses away from Israel. So, no iPhone hacking for you, L3. Let's load the next story. We've got about 3 minutes to go. Jill Biden, the First Lady, apologized to Mexico and Hispanics everywhere for comparing them to tacos. She was doing a speech in Texas, and she said something about, like, diversity, like the boguetas in New York and the tacos of San Antonio. And people in New York apparently didn't care that she mispronounced bodega, but people in San Antonio were upset that she compared the diversity of Latin America to the diversity of tacos in San Antonio. Surprise, surprise. U.S. law will overrule states for abortion in case of medical emergencies. Biden administration insists federal law would overrule state bans protecting providers who perform emergency abortions. Physicians must continue to offer abortions in case of medical emergencies without exception, Joe Biden's administration said on Monday, as it insisted federal law would overrule any total state bans on abortion. In a letter to healthcare providers, the president's Health and Human Services Secretary, Xavier Becerra, said the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, or EMTALA, protects providers from any purported state restrictions should they be required to perform emergency abortions. Under the law, no matter where you live, women have the right to emergency care, including abortion care, Becerra said. Today, in no uncertain terms, we're reinforcing that we expect providers to continue offering these services and that federal law preempts state abortion bans when needed for emergency care. Becerra said medical emergencies include ectopic pregnancies, complications arising from miscarriages, and preeclampsia, NBC News reported. The health secretary's intervention comes as abortion bans have already taken place in 13 states, with 13 more states expected to follow. On Friday, Biden signed an executive order, which he said would protect access to medical abortion, or medication abortion, and emergency contraceptions. I'm excited and happy. I was happy to see that a few bars that I go to, they stocked up and have Plan B discreetly, Plan B and some other medications just kind of discreetly for sale too, if you need them. So I thought that was cool. I was glad to see that people had humans being bros, you know. We're gonna run out of time, but the only other thing I would mention is that there's a lot of sadness in the world, but don't let it totally